It's the morning show. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Kate Archer Kent. And new research says an estimated 11% of the U.S. population has hearing loss in both ears. Now, that may not come as a surprise, but this new research also finds hearing loss is more common among folks living in the quiet countryside than it is for those living in bustling cities. So what's behind this rural-urban divide, and what can be done to close this gap? If you have questions or your own stories about tinnitus in your ears, 800-642-1234. If you have questions about this study and what they found, 1-800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. We'll hear from an audiologist in Waupaca in a few minutes. But let's start with David Ryan. He's the Senior Fellow of Public Health for the NORC at the University of Chicago and also Director of Public Health Analytics for the NORC at the University of Chicago, which is a nonpartisan research organization. And David, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hey, thanks, Lee. Thanks for having me. It's my pleasure.
Yeah, you went across the country, county by county. What set you out on this investigation, this study, and what surprised you about what you found?
So this was part of a larger project funded by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention to look at chronic conditions that CDC didn't have a designated program to evaluate. So CDC does do a lot of work on early detection and hearing intervention among children, but doesn't have a formal program for adult hearing loss. Seeing that call and given the high prevalence of hearing loss, we thought, you know, hey, we should take a look at this. And I was actually surprised to see that there were no state and county estimates of hearing loss. And that's something our team had the skills and expertise to address.
Yeah. And what was it, the rural-urban divide that stood out to you most in your results there, David?
That was surprising to me. And the result was so strong, I sort of assumed that everyone had seen this already. And this was kind of knowledge in the field. When we looked a little harder, we realized that this was a relatively new finding, although other people have done research in the area of risk for hearing loss among rural residents.
And there are other urban-rural divides that we find, and almost, it would seem, increasingly. So, David, are there other aspects of urban and rural life that could help explain your results and findings? Are there demographics, perhaps? I mean, you would suspect that, generally speaking, rural would be older, would be whiter. Is there something to account for the hearing loss in urban rural areas based on demography?
Yeah, so I think you're getting into the questions of why. If I could just pause a minute to talk about what we're talking about.
Yeah.
So for Wisconsin specifically, we estimate that 12.1% of all Wisconsin residents have at least mild or worse hearing loss in both ears. That's about 1 in 8 people. And this is slightly higher, but not dramatically higher than the national average of 11.6%. You know, that said, like you stated, the risk is not the same for everyone. So hearing loss increases dramatically with age. We see rates well below 1% among children, you know, 17 and younger. But this risk increases to almost 1 in 10, so a little under, so 9.4% of people ages 35 to 64. In Wisconsin, that rate of 9.4% is about a percentage point higher than the national average for that age group. And then it keeps increasing with age until you reach older age. And people in Wisconsin ages 75 and older have almost a 3 out of 4 chance of having some type of hearing loss in both ears. Hearing loss is also related to demographics. So there's been a lot of research that has found before us, and then we've also found that non-Hispanic white people have the highest rates of hearing loss as compared to other race and ethnicity groups. And then, of course, as you mentioned, you know, our study found striking differences in terms of geography. So in Wisconsin, Milwaukee had the lowest rate of hearing loss at only about 8.9% of all residents. And the counties in the northern border of the state had the highest, with the highest rate that we saw in Wisconsin being in Iron County, at over 20%, so 23.4% by our estimates.
Wow. David Ryan, our guest, senior fellow and director of public health analytics for the NORC at the University of Chicago, talking about his recent study about a hearing loss in both ears, county by county across the country, and what specifically he found in Wisconsin. Briefly, David, you looked at hearing loss in both ears. Why both ears?
So it's important to know, right, that our estimates are only a portion of all the hearing loss that's going on. So as you said, we look at both hearing loss in both ears, as this is the form of hearing loss that's most likely to create difficulties in comprehending speech and functionality. However, hearing loss in, you know, one ear alone is also a problem. And if you feel like you're experiencing that, you should see an audiologist. There's also more people who have what's called slight hearing loss. So a little bit of hearing loss in either one or both ears that doesn't reach the level of what the American Speech, Hearing, and Language Association terms mild hearing loss. And that's both a problem in its own right and also definitely a sign of risk for more serious hearing loss in the future. So if you feel like you're experiencing some hearing loss, you feel yourself saying what a lot when people are asking you questions, you know, definitely it's a good idea to talk to your doctor about your hearing and your concerns and what you can do about it.
David, your research didn't specifically look at the causes for hearing loss or the urban-rural divide in hearing loss. Do you have a hypothesis why this trend may be the case?
Yeah, so those are really interesting questions for why. Yeah. And like you said, we don't really know, and our study did not specifically look at the causes. I mean, that said, there are some theories that we have that we're hoping to investigate further. So a big reason would be demographics, like you said before. Age, we've known since the beginning of time that hearing loss increases as you get older. And rural counties tend to have a higher proportion of residents ages 65 and older. So taking like the Iron County example, 28.5% of the population there are 65 and older, compared to just about 15% in Wisconsin overall, and 14.5% in the U.S. as a whole. Also race and ethnicity. So we know that non-Hispanic whites have higher rates of hearing loss than other race and ethnicity groups, and northern counties tend to have more residents who are non-Hispanic whites than other counties in the state. So these demographic factors are a substantial reason. And when we adjust for them using statistics, we see lower rates of hearing loss in northern counties relative to other counties. But what's interesting is that the rate of hearing loss is still higher in those counties, even after adjusting for demography. Hmm. Yeah, so this leads us to like more questions about why.
Right.
And we do have some ideas to explore. So I think thinking about risk factors for hearing loss, the number one preventable or modifiable risk factor would be lifetime noise exposure. And these noise exposures often come either through occupations or recreation. We can speculate for Wisconsin. We know nationally a disproportionate number of veterans live in rural areas, and many may have been exposed to risky noise exposures either through, you know, deployment and serving their country in fields of battle, or through training exercises. There's also work exposures. In the north of Wisconsin, there's a large amount of forestry, farming, and manufacturing, which could involve prolonged exposures to high noise equipment. There's lower access to audiologists and other healthcare, which may lead to poor outcomes from diseases like diabetes and hypertension that, when left untreated, can increase your risk for hearing loss. And then potentially there's recreational exposures, such as, you know, enjoying the beautiful countryside, as we all like to do, mm-hmm. Involves some risks from things like all-terrain vehicles and potentially even hunting and the use of firearms.
David, I really appreciate your work and sharing it with us this morning. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me on.
David Ryan is the Senior Fellow of Public Health and Director of Public Health Analytics for the NORC at the University of Chicago. Up next, we hear from an audiologist in Waupaca and you as well at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. I'm Lee Rayburn, and you're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. This is The Morning Show, and I'm Lee Rayburn. We're looking into new research that finds hearing loss is more common in rural areas of the country than in urban parts. And we just spoke with the lead author of this study who gave us a good look at what it means for Wisconsin. Now let's go deeper, and we invite you to the conversation at 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Joining us now is Becky Franz, clinical audiologist and owner of Rural Audiology Services in Waupaca. And Becky, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thank you.
Hey, I appreciate you being here. What did you think of the research of David Ryan, who we heard earlier, and his results that hearing loss is more common in rural than areas than urban areas? Does that hold true to your experience and your work, Becky?
Well, certainly I practice in a rural area, and I do see a high incidence of hearing loss, and I'm finding that I'm seeing it in younger and younger patients. I can't speak to urban areas. I've always lived in a more rural area, but it's nice to see his study. Not that people have hearing loss, but that it's that awareness. Mm-hmm. So people know, and hopefully we'll move forward, and education is everything.
There you go. Becky, what are the causes of hearing loss from your patients?
Oh, I would say the biggest thing we see at Rural Audiology is noise-induced hearing loss.
So just exposure to loud noises across the board.
Yes.
Recreation, workplace.
Yes.
Yeah.
And certainly age, as David had mentioned, is a big part of it. And that's nothing we can avoid, but it's a constant thing that we talk about with our patients is their history of noise exposure, their current noise exposure, how it affects their hearing, and what they can do to hopefully prevent further loss.
And Becky, what are the consequences of hearing loss? Other than struggling to hear people long term, are there mental, physical health consequences?
People with hearing loss, especially untreated hearing loss, are at a higher risk for memory loss. They're at a higher risk for dementia. They're a higher risk for depression. They're at a higher risk for falls, which we just want to do something to help prevent that, to prevent the hearing loss itself. And if we have hearing loss, we want to treat it at the earliest stage possible.
Becky Franz, clinical audiologist at Rural Audiology Services in Waupaca. We go to your questions now at 1-800-642-1234. Marty in Elkhorn, good morning.
Good morning. Coincidentally, I just went and had a hearing test a few days ago and found that, in essence, men's voices I'm better to pick up. Women's voices being of a higher pitch, I'm not so good at that.
Huh.
So the clinician suggested hearing aids. He gave me three different prices, $1,700, $2,700, $4,100. And, of course, I asked, well, what's the difference? And he said, the technology. Is this true? What's the difference between A and B or C?
Yeah, Marty, I'm glad you asked. And you know, it's recently we've seen hearing aids go from prescription, I believe, to over-the-counter. So you don't need to see an audiologist anymore to get a hearing aid. So what about over-the-counter hearing aids? And when it comes time to selecting the right one for you, Becky, how do you go about it for your clients?
When I'm helping a patient choose their hearing aid, I'm looking at their hearing loss and their social needs. And their social needs is a big factor in the cost of the hearing aids. When you get into those higher level hearing aids, as your caller was talking about, if you think about a computer that has a faster processor, that's what's happening with those more expensive hearing aids, is they're working faster to keep up with your lifestyle. So a person that's home one-on-one might not need as fast of a processor as somebody who's in a lot of complex listening situations.
So what about the over-the-counter hearing aids then, and the now huge array of selection that is available for anybody just going online or to their local drugstore?
I think there are pros and cons to over-the-counter hearing aids. Unfortunately, I feel that there are more cons. But first, the pros are certainly that it's getting somebody some assistance. So if I know I'm starting to develop hearing loss and I'm not ready to spend the larger amount of money, I can get a little bit of assistance. And hopefully that will lead me to an audiologist. Then my cons of it are is that it's a one size fits all. And I don't think that's appropriate, because I can have five people that I test in a day and all five of them are going to have different hearing loss. So when I'm fitting them with hearing aids and programming them, it's a very different process based on their ear shape, based on their test results, based on their technology.
Yeah, anybody that has earbuds that fall out would understand and recognize the need
exactly.
to have them popping out everywhere. Becky Franz, what are some of the misconceptions you hear about hearing loss from your patients?
I think the biggest one is a patient comes in and we find some hearing loss. So they're aware they have hearing loss when they walk through my doors, but then they say to me, oh, it's not that bad. I think I'm going to wait. And that's a problem, because that early intervention and adjusting to amplification and not missing out, not missing the high-pitched women's voices like your caller mentioned, not missing the kids that come over for Easter dinner. That's important. It's all the social part.
And what are the results of for your patients when they are fitted for hearing aids and they return? What's the quality of life like? What's the change like? Is it worth the money?
I think that's a good question. You know, I find it so joyful when patients come back and say, you know what, I was able to sit down and I'm not needing things repeated constantly, or I can even interact with my family at dinner. I'm not blasting the TV away, so I can sit in the same room as my spouse. It's just easier. Like, you don't have to think as hard when you're wearing hearing aids or concentrate.
And Becky, from the perspective of, we've talked a lot about the individual, but what about as a community, as a state, government? What can be done to close this rural-urban gap of hearing loss? As we've heard detailed, it's worse in Wisconsin than it is generally across the country, according to this new study. What can we do collectively?
I think education on the impacts of noise at a young age. I think the hobbies that we have in our rural areas, while they're fun, they can be really hard on our hearing. You know, if you think about a summer in northern Wisconsin, you're going to see people out on their boats, pontooning, regular boats. You see people out on ATVs, but you don't see any of those people wearing any kind of hearing protection. So I think getting the word out there, I don't know what class it would be part of, but the importance of hearing protection in all things, whether it be you're playing your trumpet in band, to you're wearing hearing protection when you're shooting, education.
What about, and we got about a minute left here, Becky, but I am curious about testing and whether or not mandated audio testing may be a benefit to the people in Wisconsin.
Ooh, that is a good question. I think it would be a fabulous thing. You know, young kids are tested at birth. Infants are tested, so we detect that. And I know that they're tested in the schools, which can be an iffy process because you don't have a sound booth. It's not quite regulated. But I think making it part of physicals, even if it was at a certain age for youth. And if primary care physicians as adults, you know, like we recommend mammograms for women, colonoscopies, why not have it be, hey, you're hitting this age, let's do a hearing test as part of your physical.
Becky, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Becky Franz, clinical audiologist and owner of Rural Audiology Services in Wapaka. I'm Lee Rayburn, and you're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.